Listen, we're doing a kind of 4-week series here that will introduce us to some themes that we're going to be focusing in on this year as a church. At our annual meeting, we talked about how Acts 2:42 to 47, that scripture passage is going to be kind of a focus for our church. And so what I thought I would do is, leading up to Easter, we're going to go through 4 messages that hit some touch points on that passage, and primarily actually in verse 42, and then we'll get to the other verses after Easter. But there's so we kind of I kind of laid out just briefly at the meeting that we wanted to really focus in on a church that was walking in the Spirit, and we'll get into more on that in a second as we get into the passage. But just so you know, that's kind of how we're not done with Luke yet. We've got a ways to go in the book of Luke, and that's okay. I'm in no hurry, as you probably have surmised. But that's okay. It's all God's word. He blesses us as we get into it. So we'll get back into Luke again at another time. But let's go to prayer right now. Let's ask for God's help as we get into his word. And so, Lord, we are just want to thank you for the all-sufficient merit that we have in Christ, that anyone who confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. It's really, in a sense, that simple, that as we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of our sinfulness before a holy God, as we turn to Christ as our one and only salvation, you honor that in the sense that we get all of Jesus' righteousness, and he has then taken all of our sins and paid for them. And so we just can't even fathom what all that Jesus went through on the cross, but we are so glad that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so, God, we just want to praise you for that. We want to thank you for that. And we don't want to forget it or take it for granted. And so, Lord, we come this morning and are here to worship you, and through singing and through also getting into your word, and we want to worship with our whole lives. And so, Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us as we enter into your word today, as we look into it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts, and that you would strengthen our walk with Christ, if we have a walk with Christ, and build us up, Lord. And Lord, if anyone listening today, anyone here today, doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would have an encounter with the living God and know Christ as their Savior. Lord, we also just want to remember, Lord, people in our church that are struggling. Maybe it's with depression. Maybe it's just some other disease. So whether it's mentally or physically, whether people are suffering, we pray, God, that you would help them, deliver them out of the darkness there that they're feeling. And Lord, we just pray that you would, as the psalm says, set them up on a rock, get them out of the pit as they're feeling in that place. Lord, we also just pray, Lord, for your healing touch. Lord, we know you're able. We know you're able. You are the great physician. And so, Lord, we pray that you would heal all the ailments that people are feeling right now. And Lord, we also just pray for endurance in our walk. Lord, some people may be getting weary just in, maybe it's the trials of life. Maybe it's the struggle against sin. We just pray, God, that you grant perseverance and victory there. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our passage this morning, we're going to read here at Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. And how about let's stand together, if you're able to stand. Let's read the passage out loud together. So rather than just me reading it this time, how about we all in unison read the words out loud. So here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is God's word. Please have a seat. I think about this passage like an old family photo. Like, you know, we're getting a snapshot here of the first church. It's quite amazing that, of course, and now actually, you know, Luke wrote this, right? Luke, this is kind of like Luke volume 2, okay? And we just can't get away from Luke, can we? But it's all good. We get a picture, we get a window into the first century church life, and it's just quite amazing. You only have to read a couple of chapters later to figure out this is not the perfect church. There never has been, okay? And that's okay, but what we can see is what these believers were giving themselves to. We could see some of the habits that they engaged in that were helpful to them in the growth in their walk with God. And so that's what we're doing. And I'm entitling this this message series, this 4 weeks here, just called Devoted. It's devoted. And we're going to see, you know, you see in those first the first few verses, in verse 42 where it says, and they devoted themselves, and then it mentions several things, right? To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so, as you may have guessed, that's our 4 weeks. And you're like, you might be thinking, well, how can you make a 4 week message out of one verse? Well, we're going to find out how that happens. And we'll be having some launch points to different places in the scriptures. But we could see that, you know, Luke's giving us kind of a summary of kind of an update on what's happening at this church. This first century church. Now, we got to realize too that, of course, before this, there's a significant event that happens before we get to this summary statement of what's happening in the church. And so, if you have your Bibles or a Bible app, you might want to pull this out because I'm going to go earlier in Acts chapter 2, and I don't have the scriptures up here. So earlier, just starting it there in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, right, we have when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And then it says, and suddenly, this is Acts 2 verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then in verse 5 it says, Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Let me just stop there for a second. So, you know, of course, we have this, and we're going to go on here. We're not going to stop right there, but we have here the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You're kind of like we're witnessing in words the birth of the church and the pouring out of the Spirit of God. And Jesus told his followers, right, before he ascended, he said, you go and you wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's what we've got. They waited, and God answered, and he poured out his Spirit, right? Because up until this point, we have the Holy Spirit would come and go on people, right? And now we have this Holy Spirit poured out as a permanent deposit in God's people. So this is a one-off, unique event. I mean, there's not going to be another Pentecost, because Pentecost here is just the birth of the church, right? And the church just gets born once, right? Now, that's not to say that the Spirit of God doesn't do unique works and empowers people and does certain things. You know, he still does amazing things. But we should never try to reproduce this, because this is the birth of the church, okay? And so, you know, if you are going to design a strategy to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no better one than God's design here. Because, listen, all these people are gathered together in one place from all these other nations, right? And they're there for this celebration, okay? And so God, in his perfect timing, sends the Spirit upon, you know, at the birth of the church, and so there these people began speaking, it says, in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's finish here, keep going with verse 5 in Acts chapter 2. It says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together. Right, I mean, you hear something that the sound of a rushing wind, and then these people are speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and it says, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished. This is like being at the UN. Have you ever seen that with those people, those little things there, and there's a translator on the other end, but you don't need a translator. You know, it's like, you know, if I, you know, and so, you know, this particular instance of speaking tongues is these people are hearing whatever God is prompting these people to say in their own language. You know, and it's not like they went to university and studied whatever it was, right? They were able to do this, and so the Holy Spirit was like the universal translator speaking, and as the Spirit was poured out. So, of course, this would be astonishing, right? If we went on a missions trip, you know, to Ukraine or Russia or something, you know, and none of us had ever spoken Russian, and all of a sudden, boom, we're speaking Russian and praising God. And, I mean, that would, and you know, they know you don't know it and know Russian, and that would be astonishing. Wouldn't it be shocking to you? This is what was happening. This is what was happening. I mean, this was a shake-up of things. And so they were astonished. And here's what they were saying. It says, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? You know, it's like, they don't know my language. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So this is what they were saying. They were testifying and saying how great God was. And is. And so this is just amazing, right? And so verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, they are filled with a new wine. And, you know, I mean, who drinks wine and gets drunk and speaks in another language? I mean, this is just stupid. I mean, it's just, I've never known that to happen, okay? Never seen it happen. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, that's just, you know, this just shows you the lengths that people will go to try to discredit a work of God, right? To try to come up with some explanation right? And you just wonder if that'll happen at the rapture. Somebody will try to come up with some explanation, you know, of why all these people are no longer around. And they just happen to be Christians. Anyway, I don't know. So this is what happens. So we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then you have Peter. We won't read his sermon, but he gives probably the best sermon he ever gave, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know the other sermons he gave, but the 3,000 people got saved that day. I'd say that's a good day, you know. And of course, it's God who's saving the people, right? It's the message of salvation, but the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like the message is the gasoline and the Spirit's the fire, and boom, and the God's just turning the lights on. People are understanding their need for Jesus. And so he gives this message, and he shares the gospel, and then he's just, you know, he explains what's happening, right? And so it's just amazing. And of course, you know, in verse 38 in Acts chapter 2, he says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So now the church has at least 3,120 people. Because, you know, if there's 120 there in the upper room, then at least, right, then you've got now 3,000 more. What a great problem to have, right? What a great problem to have. So I just want us to realize that the church needs the Spirit. Every believer obviously needs the Spirit, or we wouldn't have him, okay? So we cannot do ministry really effectively without the Holy Spirit, okay? And so, and that, you know, when Jesus told the disciples, you know, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," you know, that was in the context of abiding, but also just realizing we need to keep that in mind in terms of as we do ministry, as we proclaim the gospel, whether it's here or individually, as we share Christ and love people and so on, is we need to do it in the power of the Spirit, right? And so we realize that as we talk about these things that the people of God were devoted to, we need to realize that this comes in the context of the church having received the Spirit of God, okay? And so we have to realize that this is part of what it means to be walking in the Spirit, and to have a church that's walking in the Spirit is going to be a church that is devoted to the apostles' teaching and is devoted, as it says there, to fellowship, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So we just need to see that this is important. I think probably most pastors who want to lead their churches in a Christ-like, God-honoring manner are constantly thinking in some form or another that we need to make sure we're a church that is of the Word and of the Spirit both. Both. It's not one or the other. And I think what happens sometimes is that, and I'm going to quote Pastor H.B. Charles here for a second, and I do tend to agree with his quote here. He says that some churches tend to emphasize the phenomenal experiences at the beginning of Acts 2, and they tend to ignore the ordinary congregational life at the end of Acts 2, or reverse. Nobody is expecting God to do anything out of the ordinary, and that they're just about the ordinary daily business. Does that make sense? And so I think that typically, I think what he's saying there is accurate, just from personal experience. And so we need to realize this is true for our own lives. We need to be people of the Word, and we need to be people of the Spirit. We need to learn to be yielded to the Spirit of God that He has put in us. So it's in this context we find ourselves in this passage. I went back here somewhere, didn't I? Oh, okay, somebody was helping me. Thank you. Here we go. So let's just get into this, people being devoted, the believers being devoted to the apostles' teaching. And that's what we're going to focus in on here. The first part of verse 42, and so we see these believers were devoted, right? So, and I think we want to just gloss over that these believers were devoted followers of Christ. As it says in verse 42, chapter 2, and they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. And when I looked this up, this particular verb, it's present active participle, which means it's ongoing. It's an ongoing. Yeah, I don't know what that all means, except for the fact that I do know. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to come off as a Greek scholar here. But in my logo software, when I hover over the verb and it tells me that, I look that up and it says, you know what that means? It's some sort of ongoing action. That's all we need to know. Okay, it's an ongoing action. So it wasn't a one and done, I'm going to be devoted to this. It was a continual thing that I'm going to be devoting myself to. Okay, and so we need to realize that this devotion that the church had and that we should have as followers of Christ, it's an ongoing commitment to these things that are listed. Okay? These are things that which we need to continually give ourselves to. Okay, and so that's where I think, you know, some of the language information does help us. Now, actually, you could have gotten this, just a little Bible study tip here, okay? I mean, you know, a lot of times, if you look up some other versions, like, so I'll look things up, a New American Standard or NIV and ESV and sometimes the NLT, just to see. And a lot of times when, especially with those first three I mentioned there, like the NASB says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles. Just you get the sense of the verb there, right? So that can help you, okay, understand that there's something there. And it's something that's an ongoing thing. So so it says that they were continually devoting themselves. Now, the word devoted here means to be faithful to continue in it. So you're continuing in these things, to hold fast to these things, or to attach yourself to these things. So you think about that being devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know, insert some of these ways of thinking about it, to be faithful to the apostles' teaching, to continue in the apostles' teaching, to hold fast to it, to attach yourself to it, okay? That's what it is getting at here. And certainly, you could probably think of maybe you yourself are devoted to some particular activity. I'm not saying that's bad or anything, you know, and people that are devoted to certain things, obviously there's a commitment there, right? Some people are devoted to working out. And being healthy and all that. And some are devoted readers. They read a book a week. That's great. You know, some people are, you know, so you think about devotion. The Arnold Classic is this weekend, right? Of course, I didn't go. But I don't mean like there's anything wrong with going, but, you know, I'm just saying I didn't go, you know. I'm sure it's a surprise. But there's a lot of devoted bodybuilders there, right? A lot of devoted bodybuilders there. A lot of people that give a lot of time and a lot of effort to have their bodies look a certain way. Now, I'm certain to some degree some of that is unhealthy. We had a conversation on the way home from men's retreat about that, but I'm sure there's also a healthy way to do it. But just to try to get your mind around devoted followers of Christ, right? These things, these four things that are mentioned here are at the core of the church and what they devoted themselves to. Now let's talk about this being devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, as we hang on to that word devoted, I want to take a look at a verse here. And if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. I'm going to read the NASB version, New American Standard Version. There's actually a reason why. And so it says, "And like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word." It's the word that I like included in the NASB. It's not included in the other ones, but I think if you read the context, it's talking about the word. Okay? My opinion there. So, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Now, we've got some people that have been mothers here and who are mothers. And when that baby wants to eat, they want to eat now, right? So they, you know, there is a demand for to be fed. And so Peter's saying here, he says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. And as we talk about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, there should be a hunger in our souls to be fed by the word of God. There should be a soul hunger for God's word, just like a baby longs for its mother's milk. That's what he's saying. And here's why. The second part of the verse says, so that by it, in other words, by the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. It's like you got to have this spiritual nutrients of the Word of God if we're going to grow in our walk with Jesus. It's a requirement. You know, our sister church down in Nicaragua, they have a medical clinic there, and they like to make sure that the mothers there, you know, that they get their prenatal vitamins and that their babies have the nutrients they have, because, you know, if they're malnourished, that's going to obviously not healthy, just by the nature of the word, malnourished, but it has other implications for the trajectory of their lives. Right? When you think about that spiritually speaking, right? If we're not having this regular diet of the pure milk of the word, then we're going to be spiritually malnourished. Our growth will be stunted, if you will, right? Because we need it, and we should be longing for it. And so, this is kind of a challenge, maybe in our attitudes when we think about the Word of God, that we need it, and it's necessary. Now, as we look at they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? So let's just say, you know, who were the apostles? This is a logical question. I mean, some may not know. Who were the apostles? And now just the basic meaning of that word is simply one who is sent on a mission, right? The word apostle could just mean messenger, right? Let me just say, apostle with a capital A. Let me use that, like as a title, okay? Not just any general messenger here, but apostle, use the phrase with a capital A, would only include the 12 apostles, who would include Matthias, who was selected here after Judas tubed out, say. And so they had to replace him, right? And so it would include the 12, and then also the Apostle Paul. And he was set apart uniquely set apart as an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, there are two criteria basically that would be used to say this person is an apostle, capital A. Okay? And that is, they have been chosen directly by Christ. Okay? And secondly, that they have witnessed the resurrected Christ. They've seen the risen Christ. And so, wouldn't that make sense to you that the ones that you would choose to lay the foundation for the church and its future, who would lay down all of the teaching that would be the foundation of the church, would be ones who would be witnesses to the resurrected Christ, right? And ones who were chosen by him, right? And so, and this is who we're talking about when we're talking about apostle with a capital A. Now, you know, Paul, of course, he had a unique encounter with Christ, right? He did witness the Christ, the resurrected Christ, okay? And he was commissioned by him, right? He was sent by him. So, now, there are other leaders that are referred to in the New Testament that we would see this descriptor on, right? So some people have kind of stated that these are the founding apostles, and some of these others have titles like that, such as Barnabas in Acts 14, Silas and Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:6 are mentioned in this way, and a few other church leaders, okay? But they're not apostles, as we would say, as with the capital A, because these people were not firsthand witnesses of the resurrected Christ. But they are messengers of the gospel. They played important roles in the church, okay? So I think it's just important for us to know who we're talking about. We're saying we're being devoted to the apostles' teaching. We ought to know who the apostles are. And so so that just gives us a little bit on that. But, you know, it's interesting then, so what is the apostles' teaching? What is it that what is this apostles' teaching that we're being devoted to? And that really brings us to that next point here. Devoted followers of Christ pursue knowing God more. Pursue knowing God more. Now, this is the apostles' teaching. Now, so what is this? When we talk about the apostles' teaching, well, take a look at Matthew chapter 28. This thing is not helping me. It's distracting me. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is a familiar verse for our tribe here at Darby Creek. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, you know, for one thing we can say for certain that the apostles were doing was teaching these new believers all that Jesus had commanded them to do. Okay, I mean, if they're following this command by Jesus, that's definitely one of the things they're doing, okay? So they're teaching about the life of Christ, they're teaching about who Jesus is, and so on. And so they're teaching the believers to observe all that I have commanded you. And you know, it's interesting, if you're a reader or if you like to study this kind of thing, there is a book that John Piper wrote that where he went through all the commands of Christ and wanted to try to understand what those were. Not, you know, and then because he was like, well, if this is something that we're supposed to convey, right, in making disciples, we ought to know what those are. I don't know what the title of the book is. I'm sure you can Google it and find out. I think it actually was re-released here recently. That's why it comes to my mind. But John Piper and the commands of Christ, I'm sure you'll find it. But if you want to see more what that is. So we know that that's one of the things the apostles were doing. But the other thing is that in John chapter 14, verse 26, this is an amazing statement here. about Jesus. And he's talking to these guys who he's handing off things to, right? He's talking to once he would lay the foundations for the church. He says, but the helper, John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Isn't that an awesome gift that he would give them? That ability to recall the things that Jesus said. And he says that he would teach them all things, everything they needed to know with regards to his mission for the church and everything. And so this is unique. These guys, they were endowed with the Spirit in a special way and appointed by Jesus to set the foundations for the church. And so, and also in John chapter 15, take a look there, John 15, so just one chapter over, John 15, 26 and 27 says, but when the Helper comes, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth. Isn't that interesting how the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth? Who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And this is where we also realize that it was important that these apostles be ones who were with Jesus. Okay? And so this is what he's saying. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. All right, so as we examine the scriptures, we see these apostles had the authority from God to deliver definitive truth and also new revelation beyond what Jesus had already taught, right? They clarify things, and God, you know, as we have our Bible here, and particularly for these guys, the New Testament, right? These are inspired, meaning God breathed, that they are the very words of God, using the unique personalities and times in which these individuals were born that wrote these New Testament letters that we have, right? And the gospel accounts, they are the very words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that. All scripture is inspired by God, breathed out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And the purpose is, it says, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Again, kind of making that connection, the importance of the Word of God in the life of a believer is that so that we be equipped for every good work, right? And so, if you ever move away, and I hope you don't, but if you ever move away and you look for a church, you better look for a church that says they believe in the fully inspired Word of God, that it's verbally inspired, that every word matters. Okay, that's important. And that's important to us. That these are not Greg's opinions, right, that we're talking about here. These are not nice ideas. These are the words of God. Okay? And again, as the Holy Spirit moved upon them, and as, again, I believe that he used their unique personalities and styles to write down exactly what he wanted them to write. And so that's a miracle in itself, right? But hey, if God created the universe out of nothing, don't you think he can have people write down exactly what he wanted? I mean, I don't see why that's so hard, okay? But it is true. So we see that and we know that, you know, we don't have time to get into all this, but we know that, you know, Jesus affirmed that the Old Testament's God's word. Okay, he quoted it all the time, affirmed that it was the word of God. Okay, and so, but here when we say devoted to the apostles' teaching, we're not just saying, you know, that it's just a New Testament thing. We're only going to focus on the New Testament, because actually, if you're going to study the New Testament, you're going to study the book of Hebrews, by the way. You're going to spend most of your time in the Old Testament, because there are so many quotations and allusions and references to the Old Testament. So it's all God's word. So we need to be devoted to all of it and to understanding it correctly. But this is something that as we talk about this phrase that we've kind of honed in on in verse 42, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? So again, it's not just a one and done, it's a continual thing that we're doing, and it's something that we're going to give ourselves to. We have to give ourselves to it. And I think that's something that as we think about, you know, we're never going to grow out of growing in the knowledge of God. And we never are going to grow out of the need to study and take in the Word of God. Because it's like saying you don't need another meal the next day or the day after that. We already looked at the 1 Peter 2:2. It's necessary for our growth in respect to our salvation. And so you probably heard this phrase in other circles, like being a lifelong learner, right? A lifelong learner, right? As believers, we need to make sure that part of being devoted to the apostles' teaching is being lifelong learners of the Word of God. We need to see ourselves as students, and students that not just look for, putting information in, but information, there's a goal. You know, theology has a goal. It should be to transform our lives. It should affect how we live. It should affect how we think. It should affect how we conduct our lives, right? It's not just for information's sake, okay? And it really is, you know, this relationship with God, right, that we have through Jesus Christ. And an aspect of that relationship is going to come through a regular intake of the Word of God. Now, let me just mention, I'm going to mention three things here on how we can practically model this being devoted to the apostles' teaching. We kind of focused in on this word devotion, and we talked about who are the apostles, what are their teachings, and the body of teaching, the New Testament, really, and then also the entire Bible, and that Jesus gave them the authority to lay the foundations for the teaching of the church. And so, by the way, by implication, you should have also picked up on that. We're not adding to this Word of God. There's nothing that anybody could say that is a church leader that they say would supersede anything that is written here. Okay? That's not God's plan. What we have here is completed. And is all we need for life and godliness. Okay? So what do we do? Well, so first thing is, the first thing in terms of how can we be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Number one is just we should be devoted to gathering and worship to hear the Word of God taught and explained. Hey, you guys got that one down. You're here. You're here. And I applaud every family that's here, by the way. And it's not a diss on anybody that doesn't have a family or doesn't have kids, because it's just daggone hard to get all the troops together and to get them going and everything like that. And so just know, I just believe the Lord is going to bless that as you sacrifice to set the course for your family. Because that's what you're doing. You're setting the course for your family. And that we need to see that, this is what we do. So an aspect of being devoted to the apostles' teaching, you know, assuming you're going to a church that's preaching the Word of God, which in case of Darby Creek, we are, by God's grace, we've continued to be, and is that is a habit that we need to have, because that's part of being devoted to the apostles' teaching. So you should expect that when you gather for worship that someone's going to teach from the Bible. We don't need to be taught at church 5 steps for financial security and prosperity. There are some financial principles in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of good principles, financial principles in Proverbs and so on. I mean, I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't say anything about money. But, you know, it's not going to be, you know, you should expect that it's not going to necessarily be something like that, but we need people to open the Word of God to help us grow in our understanding of God that would draw us closer to God. That's why we come to worship God, and we use that term, but, you know, our all of life is supposed to be worship. An expression of that is we sing to God, we sing the truth, and we want to come and hear the truth. And, you know, and I realize, hey, you guys, you know, I realize that, you know, sometimes we find our situations where we're not able to come to a gathering. That happens, you know. Some people get homebound. They're not, you know, some people end up in a nursing home and all that. That, you know, that's a reality. And I know that there are sometimes there are ministries that minister to people in those situations, or at the very least, you know, that's our purpose for, well, aside from the pandemic forced us to have a live stream for our own folks. But, you know, so we're not looking for our recordings or the live stream to replace anybody's church attendance. That should never be the case. And I can understand where people watch services online to kind of get a feel for things, and as they're maybe looking around for churches and so on, but it's never meant to replace being actively a part of a body, right? And again, I know there are situations where some people can't make it, and that's not who I'm talking about, okay? Not who I'm talking about. You know, with this is it, but in coming, I really think there is something about the live action preaching, if you can say that. Can we say that? Does that sounds like an action figure? I don't know that. Yeah, so, we're not making superhero action figures, yeah. But here's the thing, and again, I watch and I listen to podcasts and I watch videos all week long. So I'm not saying there's no place for that. I receive a lot of benefit from that. But there's something about the live event. And I don't know if it's the Spirit of God, you know, in the preaching or the, you know, whatever. But that's, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe that's my opinion. I've cried over a video teaching. So I'm not saying that the Spirit of God doesn't work through that, okay? But I think God wants you to be in a church family where you're regularly coming for worship and to as a part of your worship to hear the Word of God. That's a way to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Okay. Second thing is we should be devoted to personal study of God's Word and regularly intake the Word of God. Now, you probably thought that's where we're going to go anyway. But just, you know, this should be a regular part of our lives, is reading the Bible, studying the Bible, so that God can speak to us through His Word. I mean, He has spoken in the Word, and so as we get into it, He works through His Spirit in our hearts. He speaks to our minds and our hearts there, and He directs our lives. And so you should have a daily personal worship time if you can. Not saying legalistically daily, but it should be, you know, hopefully it's not hit and miss. Hopefully you got some kind of a plan that you are working in terms of a strategic way of knowing that it's going to happen. Because, you know, typically the old saying, what, failing to plan is planning to fail? And that's the way it works in my life. If I don't have some kind of regimen, it doesn't happen. And that's just the way it is. So think about that, think about if you're getting in the Word of God. We need to not rely on third hand information, too. Like again, I listen to lots of Bible teaching. I read lots of books about the Bible and so on, and there's great benefit in that. But we need to be in the Word ourselves, because God has he's got some things He wants to say to you through that Word yourself too. And again, We benefit from other people speaking and so on. But make sure you're in the Word yourself. And I would say, too, you know, some sort of regular Bible study done in community with other believers is another way to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. And many of you are involved in Bible studies or small groups here where the Scripture is read and discussed, and we try to apply it to our lives. And that's really important. That is another aspect of being devoted to the apostles' teaching. I think it's a real healthy thing, I've said this before, in studying the Word of God together. Because it helps, I think there's some protection there, that we don't have some unbiblical thinking go awry when we're on our own. We're better protected, I think, and so on. So I think that's important. And you know, the verse there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It'll provide for your basic needs," is I think what it means in the context there. And I was talking with somebody at our retreat the men's retreat, and they just nailed it when they said, they were like, you know, I know if I get God in the proper place in my life, these other things are kind of take care of themselves. And I just say amen to that. Okay? And one way is make sure we have things in proper alignment is just to make sure that we're devoted to the apostles' teaching in our personal worship. Okay? All right. Now, last thing I just want to say is a church that's devoted to the apostles' teaching is one where people are not only hearing God's word taught and studying it themselves, but they're sharing it with one another. They're sharing it with one another. So you need to think of yourself as a river, not a reservoir. Because a reservoir just kind of takes things in, right? And it doesn't flow out, typically, right? And so, but as a river, it's just, you know, as it comes in, it flows out. So you think about what the things that God teaches you, the things that He impresses upon your heart, don't just keep it to yourself. Why not share it with your brothers and sisters? Maybe it was even more for them than for you. Sometimes it's that way. And I just think that's cool. You know? The last verse I'll share with you that relates to what I was just saying about sharing it with one another, Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Just think about that. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. One of the ways, you know, and there you see in this passage, there's an outflowing, there's a teaching. There's an admonishing one another. They're teaching one another. Well, how's that going to happen? As the Word of God dwells within us, as we have our own personal worship times, as God teaches us things, and as we want to share that with each other. Share that with each other. You know, it could be something as simple as when you're hanging out or you're having a cup of coffee with somebody or you're just interacting with somebody before or after the service or whatever it is. You say, you know what? I'm going to share with you just one thing that God's doing in my life. Something He's teaching me. And it doesn't mean that like you're like coming off as like, I'm going to instruct you in the ways of God. You know, that's not how it is. You're just kind of saying, this is what God's doing in my life. Hey, maybe it'll help you, you know? I think that's something that is important, that we not just keep it in, but that we share it. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessing of the Word of God. Thank you for the apostles' teaching. God, we thank you for those leaders of the early church who went through all kinds of difficulties so that we might actually have the Word of God. I mean, some of these letters were written from prison, and we are the beneficiaries of their suffering. God, help us to just be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Help us to hold your word in high regard, to take it in and hold it in our hearts, and to let it flow out and let us share that word with one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to bless one another, whatever it might be. Lord, let us do it in a spirit-filled way. We pray, God, you'd help us to be more devoted in this way. In Jesus' name we pray.